It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there and you can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep this independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it unless they're a two-year-old. Hey, Karen Levine is in studio. You know her. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, and she volunteers hours and hours and hours on the local level with the Denver Metro Realtors Association, with the Colorado Association of Realtors, and the National Association of Realtors. She's a director there, and she volunteers hours and hours. It's her business, but it's her passion. And they say, what somebody said, if what you do is your passion, if your vocation is your passion, you don't really work. And Karen Levine, you're in studio. It's great to have you here. You're a fabulous partner of both the Kim Monson Show and America's Veteran Stories. But the hours that you put in to protect private property rights, the founders are smiling on you.
Well, thank you, Kim.
Because it is. It's hours and hours. And it's been a journey. You and I have been friends for a long time. And it's so interesting. We met because I was in the fashion business. Mm-hmm. And we both love fashion. And you were a client of mine. And that's how we met many years ago. And so this has been a journey for both of us. Would you have ever dreamed when we first met that we would be on the radio together? And I am realizing that you, my sponsors who are on the show regularly, people look at you as stars. I was talking to Linnea Van Herke yesterday. She and Hal own Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is a great place to go for your Father's Day shopping. Mm-hmm. And on Saturday, I'm going to try to make it, Steve. They are having Dad Appreciation Day, and I love this. It's beer, brats, and blades. It's from 11 to 3. And anyway, are you going to be able to make it? I'm going to try. I've got something I have to do in the morning, but I'm going to try to make it, Steve. Are you going to make it?
Well, you've already defined the day. I can't imagine not being there.
Beers, brats, and blades.
But so Linnea said that there was somebody that was doing some work at their house the other day, and when they got there, they said, "You're Hal Van Herke? You're on the Kim Monson Show all the time." And I think you get that too, don't you, Karen Levine?
I do. I was presenting an offer to a fellow realtor last week, and he said, "Oh, I know you. You're on the Kim Monson Show." And he goes, "I'm certain that you're good at what you do and that your offer will be exceptional when it gets in." And it was. And then a cash offer came in and just couldn't compete with my financed offer. But
and that's something that we've been talking about is these big, was it investment company that came in and did it, or do you know?
In that case, I don't know, but we're finding, yes, there's a lot of investors out there. We talked about big pension funds that are buying
BlackRock.
BlackRock. And apparently I hold some of their stock, I was told the other day.
hedging your bets, I
hedging
guess.
Our bets, exactly. So there's a lot of activity nationwide in the real estate market, and people know that it's a good investment. So I think that's why investors are putting them in their
funds. That's the thing. And Karen, I don't know if you heard the show the other morning, but Lauren Levy was on, and we talked about this. I said, I'm so concerned about these big investment funds that are coming in and buying up the housing stock. And he said, Kim, and I said, we talked about it with Karen and Lee the other day. Mm-hmm. I said, Kim, this has been going on since the crash of 2008, and the government apparently changed the rules a little bit so that investment firms can come in and buy this. And you know, you and I are free market girls. Mm-hmm. However, there's been so much public policy that has reduced housing stock, and so there's something that just I'm just really concerned about that now with these big companies coming in. And as you mentioned, it's very difficult for a financed offer to compete against a cash offer. And if somebody's sitting there selling their home, they have a cash offer for above what I was asking, you can see how they would take that. But I think it goes down to policy and housing stock, mm-hmm. the fact that we've limited it. And again, I'm saying this has been a journey for you and I.
It has been, and I think what we noticed initially, you think it seems extreme when we start saying some of the things we say. And when we look at development along mass transit, and they talk about, you know, being able to hop on the light rail to get to work, all the product that they built along mass transit has been rental property. And I have been extreme in saying that if they control our housing, they truly control our wealth and they control our decision making. And as homeowners, we then are vested in our communities. And being homeowners builds wealth. And we've talked about the disparity between renters and homeowners and wealth building. And so you look at this timeline and you wonder the chiseling away mm-hmm. that's been happening. And it's scary. And here we are in a housing crisis in our nation, who has promoted homeownership since its inception because it was a way for the American individual to build wealth. So it's just a curious journey, and it's a little scary.
Well, and it's because of public policy. Mm-hmm. If people were choosing and saying, I want to live in rental properties along the light rail line, and great. Mm-hmm. But what we've seen is money and policy that is pushing this, and these narratives mm-hmm. of coming out that a 15 minute neighborhood. Well, that's great if you want it, but if you don't want it, you shouldn't be forced into it. So that's why we talk about these issues mm-hmm. as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And Karen, what I really see, even when I was on city council, they're like, oh, millennials want to live along the light rail and they want to live in apartments. Well, not so much. I was at a Christmas party and a bunch of millennials were there and they're like, we have been locked in an apartment for a year and we want our own house with our own park, which is your backyard, mm-hmm. right?
Right. Well, and what we're finding is they are the largest group generation since the baby boomers, and they want to become homeowners. They've done an exceptional job educating themselves. Yes, they have had some large student debt, but they are moving into the housing market now, and they, I have to say, are pretty prepared in a market that's very challenging because they want to become homeowners because they understand the benefit of having their own home. And they loved urban living, you know, as they were single people and establishing their careers. But as they build families, suburbia is very attractive, having your backyard, being able to get out on your bike, you know, go for mm-hmm. a walk with your dog, your kids.
And know that you're safe.
Right. Safe.
I don't even go into Denver unless there's only a few times I do anymore. And I used to go to the zoo and the Museum mm-hmm. of Natural History with my kids. And I'm not that interested because I do not feel that they have made sure that that community is safe. People want safe communities as well. And we don't need planners telling us where we need to live. Mm-hmm. We want those choices. So I think at this point, let's do a Karen Levine advertisement.
Well,
okay.
All righty then.
And as I mentioned, you and I have been friends for many, many years. And in this challenging market, it is really important, even if you're a seller and you're going to get that offer from that investment company, it's important to have somebody on your side of the table that understands this issue, whether or not they're buying or selling. And with your experience, you've been through these crazy markets and the journey that you and I have been on to understand what's going on. I would so recommend that people work with you because you understand these issues and you are really are, you come to the table, you support our show, you support the America's Veteran Stories show because you appreciate America. And so I would just highly recommend that people work with a professional, and that would be you.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm very capable to help anyone buying or selling. And literally, I cover the Front Range here, the Metro Denver area from Longmont to Castle Rock. So if you're considering buying or selling.
Or a new build also.
Oh, most definitely. And interesting, I'm heading to Severance on Tuesday. Do you know where Severance is?
No.
Oh, it would be a little northeast of Windsor.
Oh.
And there's new construction up there, and we have a client that is under contract, and so I'll be doing a pre-drywall walkthrough with them. And
okay.
Really important part of the new home buying process.
A pre-drywall.
Pre-drywall, and that's when you walk through your home, you see if the electrical, you talk about where you want your electrical, is the electrical where it's supposed to be? How's the mechanical set up? Are there issues before they bring in the sheetrock? Because once it's covered up, you're not going to see it.
You know what? That seems, I didn't even realize that, but people, I've heard of people that get into a new build and then it's months and months and months of trying to get the developer or the builder to come back and maybe fix things. And I mean, that happens obviously, but gosh, if you go through and try to troubleshoot this, seems like a good idea to me.
Yeah. So I'll be in attendance there with the buyer clients, and we'll walk through and they get educated, they get to understand their home, and then of course catch some things before the drywall goes up.
Okay. What's the phone number to reach you?
Well, the best way to reach me is 303-877-7516.
And so we're going to go to break here in just a minute. A couple of things, though. I thought that conversation just went where it was supposed to go. But we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. Socialism is not about free stuff. Politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, those PBIs, they come in and they promise free stuff. And there's nothing that's for free. If you get something for free, that means they had to take something from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's either your neighbors, or a lot of times now it's from the next generation in all of this debt. But it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood. And it can be via force. And that could be a weapon. That's what they used to do in the old days. They'd mm-hmm. come in and brandish their weapons, and they'd take the women and children and all your stuff. Well, they don't quite do that. Well, they still do that in some places in the world.
Yes.
But
not right now.
Not yet.
So it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff with a weapon. But policy. Ah, we see that. Or excessive and unpredictable taxation. We see that. Fear. We see that.
Mm-hmm.
Coercion. We see that. And there's the one that we haven't seen for many, many years. But under the Harris, Biden, Obama, Rice administration, it's back, and that is government-induced inflation.
Ha ha
ha! So I think I added a new one since the last time you were here.
Yes.
Aha! But it's there. So because you were in town, the new girl in town, since you were in studio, property rights. I have at the beginning of the show George Washington. At the end of the show, William Howard Taft. Another one of our presidents who I need to learn more about. The quotes that he has is amazing, but we'll go to George Washington first. You know him. He was our first president. He was also the general of the Continental Army. He was born in 1732, died in 1799, and this is what he said, Karen. He said, freedom and property rights are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. So if you have public policy that's taking your property rights, they're taking your freedom.
Your freedom.
That's for sure. And before we get to Dr. Jill Vecchio in segment two, and then we'll have Liz Peets on with the Colorado Association of Realtors in segments three and four, and we'll the three of us, then we'll talk about public policy. But this show comes to you, first of all, because you guys support us. And thank you to each and every one of you that contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. And as we search for truth and clarity. but another partner is Hooters Restaurants. And my relationship with Hooters Restaurants began when I was on city council. And when I saw city council trying to pick winners and losers of which legitimate businesses could be doing business. And I met them through that whole process, and they have become a great sponsor of mine. I waited until after I was off city council, and actually a year or two after that, before we talked about them becoming sponsors, because I did not want any quid pro quo or anything like that. But they sponsor both this show and America's Veteran Stories. And they have 5 locations. They're a great place to get together with friends. Or Karen, you know, when the girls come over, I get the smoked wings, mm-hmm. half the calories. They're pretty good.
They're super tasty.
Super tasty. So to go, they have dine-in. They have kids eat free specials on Saturdays. Go to my website. That's kimmunson.com and click on my sponsors tab. All of those sponsors I highly recommend. And click on the Hooters tab. You'll get all their specials. But they have 5 locations. That's Westminster, Lone Tree, Aurora, Loveland, and Colorado Springs. So check them out. We'll be right back with Dr. Jill Vecchio. She's got some late-breaking news that I'm not sure anybody else has heard in the country regarding this whole Fauci COVID-19. You will not want to miss it. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get first look on all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice out there on the air. We're searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is a woman who, she is one of the few people in the country that read the complete Unaffordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Of course, I think we're going to see the Colorado version of the Unaffordable Care Act. It looks like they just passed some kind of a public option, or, and I'm not quite sure what they're calling it, but and she's really the person that taught me that when government gets involved in something, the price goes up, the supply goes down, and the quality is, or the quality goes down and the supply becomes limited. And that is Dr. Jill Vecchio. She's a healthcare expert. Her day job is she helps save women's lives by detecting breast cancer. She's a radiologist. Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim. Hope you're doing well.
I knock on wood, I am. yesterday, when we were doing our pre-call for this, you said you had some new information that nobody is talking about. It's so amazing to me that you talk about things that many times, Jill, a few days later, I may even see mainstream, well, you know, the national media, I shouldn't say mainstream, but national media talking about it. So what is on your radar today that you said is so late breaking?
Well, you know, I'm a nerd, but, you know, I want to go to more of a scientific source for knowledge about COVID, right? We're still talking about COVID stuff and these Fauci emails that came out. And I'm like, well, you know, I can read the emails, but, you know, everybody else has that. But you kind of need a medically trained person to look at some of the technical stuff sometimes and bring that to light. Excuse me. So I found this wonderful article, and surprisingly, it is from May 2020.
Okay.
I sent you the link to it. I sent you the link to it.
Got it right here.
Okay, so it's from the Alliance for Human Research Protection, Advancing Voluntary Informed Consent to Medical Intervention. So it's more of a scientific journal. And it talks about this gain-of-function research, because, you know, they keep talking about gain-of-function, but I've not heard anybody explain what gain of function really is. I'm sure they have once in a while, but they tend to throw out these technical terms and then don't really go into what it is. The gain of function research, and I've talked about it on the show several times, but I never use that term, gain of function. There are hundreds of labs, they're called BL3 and BL4 or something, around the world. There are at least 200 in the United States alone, all over the United States. The P4, the top labs that have the highest credentialing for the most dangerous research in viruses and stuff, are P4. They call them P4 labs, and there are like 7 of them around the world. I think 2 of them in the United States. These labs are, but there are hundreds of these labs. We don't even know where all of them are. Some of them are like so secretive in the United States and around the world that there's research going on into their purpose. When they say gain of function, the purpose of these labs is to investigate viruses that supposedly could become pandemics. But what they're doing is they say that it's, oh, well, we're investigating bat coronaviruses or avian flu viruses, bird flu viruses, or swine flu viruses so that we can, if there's a pandemic, if it ever crosses over to humans, then we'll have a step up on making a vaccine for it, right?
Okay.
Well, it's that in and of itself is such a flimsy excuse for hundreds of laboratories to do research on these incredibly virulent things. And the purpose, what they do with these labs, when they call it gain of function, that means that they are purposely genetically modifying a virus that's found, like a coronavirus found in a bat. And there was a Chinese doctor, Xi Zhengling. They called her the bat lady because all of her research at the Wuhan lab in China, where this originated, where COVID originated, was all of her research was on purposely altering the bat coronavirus that was naturally found in bats, altering it genetically, engineering it so that it would jump from a bat to a human. This gain of function research. They are purposely making it. They are purposely making viruses, changing, altering viruses on purpose to make them jump from a bird or a bat or a monkey or whatever over to a human being.
So is that what gain of function means? I guess I was thinking that gain of function meant that it would become, a virus could become more virulent. But you're saying it's a jump. Maybe it's both things.
It's purposely done. They purposely are modifying these viruses so that they will jump from animals to humans. It's explained in this article I sent you.
Okay, Jill. This is the real concern, because don't you remember when the coronavirus or when COVID-19 first struck, and we didn't really know what it was, and we took a pause. We're going to take that 2-week pause, remember, so that we didn't overrun our hospitals.
Right.
And I remember that many, and they would appear as more middle of the road publications, but they were pushing this pangolin, that this was coming from a pangolin, this was coming from, which
oh,
was
right,
a
right.
bat, and people were, had that narrative out there. And I think
it's
that as we're looking back now, the great thing about it is with a free press, is ultimately the truth comes out. Now, the mainstream media may not be talking about this, but ultimately the truth comes out. And when I heard that whole pangolin thing, I'm like, that seems
a little
weird. But it's taken over a year. Now we're realizing that that was just a narrative. It wasn't true.
Absolutely. Well, and it's Epic Times, you know, and you have Josh Phillips on. I mean, that is a great publication. In like April or May, they had an hour-long video explaining exactly what was happening at this Wuhan lab. They talked about this bat lady, and now the bat lady stuff is coming more mainstream. This was talked about really early. There were people.
And that was a year ago, in April or May, right?
Yes. So the idea, but think about it. Anthony Fauci, this is also talked about in this article. These labs are notorious for having, poor containment, right? There will, some of the viral infected mice that they're doing research on will escape. They find biologic materials in the nests of rodents, in the community. Infected workers, they have poor, and they tend to hide their any laboratory mistakes, right? Anybody that gets infected and workers that get sick and so forth, they're not very good at reporting it. And the Wuhan lab in China was notoriously poor in containment. So the United States, in 2014, from 2014 to 2017, Anthony Fauci's in charge, right, of a lot of this research. And he directs where funds go, and he's working with a bunch of these labs in other countries, including the one in Wuhan. He was working with that lab that is out there, well-known. From 2014 to 2017, the United States held up funds, suspended funding for research into avian flu, SARS, and MERS. And remember, COVID is SARS-2. At that time, there wasn't a SARS-2. There was just a SARS-1. But because of all of these containment issues at these labs, the U.S. said, forget it. These are such virulent viruses. We're not going to do any more research on them because it could cause a pandemic. So they suspended funding for avian flu, SARS, and MERS. What happens? Anthony Fauci, during that time, sends $3.7 million to the Wuhan lab in China, who continues to do research.
How did he get it?
That's how we got SARS-2.
Okay, how did it go there? Was it through NIH or
the United States? United States funds research all over the place, and they send money overseas all the time. So,
okay.
And supposedly some of these labs coordinate with one another. And, we were afraid that some of the justification for the WMD stuff was bioweapons, and they used the idea that Iraq was, Saddam Hussein was doing gain-of-function research on the avian flu virus. That's what the WMD thing supposedly was, according to this article, was that they were afraid that they were doing viral research to make another avian flu virus that would jump from a bird to a human and be incredibly virulent, and that was the bioweapon they were talking about.
Wow.
All this stuff kind of comes around, and then you start wondering about, because there were stories years ago when HIV came out, that HIV was one of these gain-of-function research things
right.
gone wrong.
I'm hearing that.
That it came from monkeys or whatever. So it's kind of like now you start to go back and go, wait a minute, swine flu? What was really going on there?
I know.
The avian flu did come from a lab. So it's kind of like you start to really wonder, what's the truth about a whole bunch of this stuff that we're being told?
Wow.
When you find out what they've really been doing this research on. So... I don't know, how much time do we have?
We're just about out of time. What I think we'll do, Jill, is in our recap and podcast that we should have up tomorrow, we'll put the link for this article that you sent over to us. But I guess just kind of buttoning up, the takeaway is that I think that we had suspended that research, and then actually through different avenues, Fauci actually continued to fund that. Is that kind of the big aha on this whole thing?
There's the aha. Okay, so let's think about this. First, Fauci is doing research here in the United States on SARS. We'll just put it in the COVID realm right now. Doing this gain of function research on SARS. That creates the pandemic. And then when they shut him down in the U.S., then he transfers the money over to China and is working with the Wuhan lab in China, working with them, with their scientists, to create this SARS-2 that then became a pandemic. Then he becomes a TV star, right, doing all of the COVID press conferences with Trump. Then he's going on CNN, The Tonight Show, you know, 60 Minutes, all of this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So now he's a TV star. Then the vaccine comes out, and he's saying everybody in the world needs to have this vaccine. What he fails to disclose is that he and other people at the CDC personally make money off of vaccines because they own patents on testing material, different parts of the vaccine process, and he works intimately with pharmaceutical companies.
Okay. So that's...
So this is the whole picture. I mean, the guy's been... You think about a one-man pandemic guru. I mean, he funds the research that creates it. It makes him a star. And he's making money off the vaccine. And he has the power to mandate that everybody get the vaccine.
Oh, boy. Talk about connecting the dots on this. The thing about it, Jill, is the truth ultimately comes out. And you have been on this. You do an amazing amount of research and connecting the dots. So this, first of all, super important information, but we'll make sure that we put that link on the recap tomorrow. And keep us, I mean, this is groundbreaking. So thank you so much, Dr. Jill Vecchio. For all the research that you do on this and for shedding light on what's happening out there. Ultimately, the truth will prevail. And we're seeing that happen here as long as we don't have censorship. So, Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much.
Take care.
Pretty interesting stuff. We're going to change hats and talk about property rights when we come back. And that's with Karen Levine. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Also, she is on the director on the National Association Board of Realtors. And Liz Peet, she is the public policy, the vice president of government affairs with the Colorado Association of Realtors. And find out what we're going to find out what happened down at the State House during this last legislative session. So stay tuned. You won't want to miss it.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute, support us as we are searching for truth and clarity on these issues by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. In studio with me is a value partner of both shows, The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. That's Karen Levine. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Her phone number is 303-877-7516. And Karen, you introduced me to Liz.
Mm-hmm.
And Liz is the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Colorado Association of Realtors. I think it's a tough job when you're trying to protect private property rights with this legislature and this governor. I think it's a tough job. And I know Liz has been on the forefront of all kinds of different conversations there. Liz, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's always good to be with you.
Great to have you as well. Okay, the session's over. So what happened to private property rights, to people being able to own their own home? What happened, Liz?
Well, I would say it was a very mixed session for property rights. There were some battles we won, some we're still going to be fighting, and some that I think is a little bit of a disappointing result. And I will happily start with a bill that everybody should know about, and that's Senate Bill 293 that changes our property tax classifications and assessments.
Okay. So tell us more about that.
So what's really important is this is going to intertwine with what's on your ballot in November. Initiative 27 would give property owners, both commercial and residential, a permanent tax cut. And what Senate Bill 293 did, which was a late bill introduced 7 days before the session ended, would change Initiative 27 completely. And what it would do is make sure that Initiative 27 only applies in a temporary tax break instead of a permanent tax break. And the other thing the bill does is create new classifications of property. So non-residential property and residential is what we normally have. Now we're going to have one non-residential class for lodging properties, hotels, motels, one class for renewable energy production, one for agricultural property, and one for commercial or vacant industry and oil and gas. And then for residential, there's going to be two classifications, multifamily housing and all other residential property. Unfortunately, when we decoupled Gallagher, this gives the policymakers the ability to start messing around in our property tax system. And I think this is something we're going to have to watch every year to see if they change the property tax rates for those different classes of properties they just created.
Liz, this is so interesting because every election cycle, we do a voter's guide. And regarding that whole conversation around Gallagher, which was an amendment that was put into the Colorado Constitution to try to make sure that, and Dennis Gallagher, it's named after him, a Democrat, to make sure that we did not get into a point like they were back in California during that time, that property taxes were going up so rapidly that they were pricing people out of their homes. And so here in Colorado, the Gallagher Amendment was passed. Now, the narrative of those that were in support of trying to get rid of the Gallagher Amendment was that they wanted to help businesses. Businesses are taxed at a higher rate than residential property, and that was tough for small businesses. Of course, what we saw through this whole reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus is that, POLIS had over 400 executive orders. We had over 600 bills that were presented in the legislature that they really weren't talking about. I mean, their goal isn't really to make it easier on small businesses, but that was the narrative, and people, I think, kind of went, okay. And now here we are, November, we're 6-7 months, I mean, not even a year into mm-hmm. it, and you're seeing all these different classifications. And what that also means is that they will tax them differently. And I think, isn't there a different tax reduction? Is this where there was a temporary tax reduction as well? And there is a different rate between multifamily, which Karen and I talked about it in the first segment, is this push by policymakers to try to get us into multifamily as apartments where you rent versus residential where you own. I mean, it's very complicated, and boy, I'm really frustrated about this, Liz.
Well, you're not the only one. This bill didn't start in January. It came about, very late in June. So there wasn't a lot of time to stakeholders. And the original version of the bill was much worse. It would have actually changed some properties that allow for short-term rentals to be commercially taxed. And we view that as a principal violation of your property rights. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say there is a good part of it in the bill that does allow you to defer your taxes if your taxes increase more than 4%. That is a benefit for property owners, especially as all of our valuations have risen so dramatically. But I think what we're worried about is what's going to be the next property tax bill. And if we're starting to prioritize renting, as you guys are suggesting, and I don't think you're necessarily wrong, where are we going to be with homeownership and the way that lots of communities of color build intergenerational wealth? And that's homeownership, and the state doesn't stop prioritizing that.
Well, and I just want to say, not only, and we are also seeing in public policy this kind of race coming into it, people of color. And who was I talking with yesterday? That it's so frustrating that we are defining people by color instead of content of their character. And the person I was talking to said, those that are pushing this all these policies based on color, they don't want to talk about Martin Luther King Jr.'s comments that we should judge each other by the content of our character instead of the color of our skin. And we are seeing that come into public policy as well, Liz. And I'm deeply concerned about this. But I just have to say, I'm so frustrated that we came out and said, do not get rid of Gallagher. And we had all of these different promises that you saw on the television and radio ads and the mailers. And then we look at this. And the other thing you mentioned is this property tax. If your taxes go up over 4%, and many people's will because the assessed valuations are going up because there's limited stock, high demand, prices go up. So somebody that's not even thinking about selling, their taxes are going up. I'm concerned we're going to price people out of their houses just through taxation. But you mentioned this deferral, and I find it so political because the deferral, people don't really see, first of all, the higher taxes until after the next election cycle. And they can defer them after the next election cycle. And I find that very political, Liz. Your thoughts?
Well, I think you are definitely hitting the nail on the head. When we have single party majority, we don't get balanced outcomes always. And I think what you're seeing are some bills that the Democratic Party worked really well with stakeholders on into fruition, but there were some that did not have a lot of stakeholder engagement. And also, when you're legislating in a pandemic and everyone's remote, if you don't have a concept that has been fully flushed out by a variety of stakeholders, you end up with policy that is made in a vacuum. And that's not good for anybody, because oftentimes there's a nuance or a specific thing that affects one industry or one group really directly in the way that their business is organized. And that is lost when we're in a remote environment.
Karen, your thoughts?
Well, a lot is going through my head with regards to this conversation, and I'm reminded of the gal that came to Girls' Night last Wednesday, whatever, which had to do with this bill getting passed so quickly, that nth hour, with regards to property taxation and the fact that the citizens have petitions out there to look at revisiting how we structure property tax and how you
and reducing property
yeah,
tax.
Yeah, reduce them, but how in a rising assessment environment, how you calculate, right, so that taxes would be more favorable and more fair to our citizens and our homeowners, which is a reaction to all of this. So I think important that Liz and I, you know, and the realtor community take a look at what the citizens are doing, and it seems to be a more reasonable approach to fairness in property taxes.
Well, and fairness, when we talk about it, is, first of all, we don't treat different entities differently. That, and so when you start to have different classifications, you're starting to peel out, and you could pick winners and losers. This classification gets taxed more than this classification. And the fact, Liz, that you're mentioning that this came in, 7 days before the end of the session. Of course, the session went after when it's normally closes, which is the first part of May. And as you mentioned, there's not time for people to take a look at it and really understand it. And before you know it, it's already a law. So we're going to go to break. I have Liz Peetz on the line. She is the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Colorado Association of Realtors, and Karen Levine, valued sponsor of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories, is in the studio. And property rights, as we said in our quote at the beginning of the hour, and this was George Washington, freedom and property rights are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. And we see this assault on property rights. And I used to think, and Karen and I did a show on this, the World Economic Forum, one of their goals is for 2030, that people will not own anything. And I thought, that's impossible. They're not going to get that goal. But Karen, with this kind of stuff.
And anything, 2030, that's
not very far away. And if you can tax people out of their property, then they don't have that property. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to break. We'll continue the conversation with Liz Peace and Karen Levine. Stay tuned.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You are missing out on fresh, original content heard only Saturdays and Sundays during Front Range Weekends on KLZ.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON. .com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity on these issues. And Karen, during break, you mentioned something. I mean, you spend many, many hours, volunteer hours, to on the local level with the Denver Metro Realtors Association, and on the state level, on the national level, to try to protect these private property rights. And you said here you've spent all this time, and then this thing comes through 7 days before the end of the session.
Well, I look at the work that Liz does on behalf of the Colorado Association of Realtors, and that's a lot of realtors statewide, you know, that she helps guide us and we guide her in protecting these private property rights. And Liz, love you to touch on, you know, the legislation that the Realtor Party put forth here in Colorado. But I look at all that time and energy that volunteers, and I refer to it as LPC, which is a Legislative Policy Committee at the State Association. And those are all realtor volunteers that sit on that during the session. And every, I think they meet on Fridays, and Liz can correct me, but they put hours into watching these bills. And I feel like they literally
kneecapped you.
Well, yeah, threw all that work under the bus and came up with SB 293, you know, to say, hey, we don't have time for all that work you guys did, but let us cut you off at the knees.
Yeah. And also, Liz, you mentioned this is to get out in front of something that's going to be on the ballot this November, and that is to permanently cut property taxes. And I've always said the radical activists, they play long ball, and sometimes I feel like we're playing tiddlywinks because they're trying to get out in front of this ballot initiative before it's even on the ballot.
And I think you did hear a lot of debate about that on the House and Senate floor, because it does raise a question with whether or not the legislature is interfering with a citizen ballot initiative. Whether they like it or don't like it, we do have a citizen initiative process. And there was a lot of consternation about changing an initiative before voters get a chance to have that voice.
You think? Really? I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling to me, Liz. But so I think we've kind of talked a lot about 293. What else would you like our listeners to know about, Liz?
Well, there are two bills that we worked on that are good news for property rights and property owners. First one is House Bill 1229. It regulates HOAs. It's not as comprehensive of a bill as originally intended, but the part that I really like that we worked on is folks that are making a purchase into a home or apartment that has an HOA or a condo, they're now going to have transparency around the HOA fees and the status and charge letters. This is huge because oftentimes you would come to the closing table and get this surprise fee that you didn't know you had to pay, and you're ready to buy. You don't want to give up the property. So this is a big deal that we passed that part in HB 1229.
Okay.
And the other one is 262, Senate Bill 262, and it's special district transparency. And the part that I really like in this bill is if you are purchasing new construction, you now have to get from the builder or the person who is in charge of the property that they're selling an estimate of what your potential property taxes are, because there's a special district in the home where you're purchasing. It could be a metro district, but there are lots of other types of districts. This is really great because you have an idea of what your property taxes will be before you purchase, not 2 years after you purchase.
Because there's a delay, Kim. Okay. So what happens is when you have new construction and that property is acquired by the builder from a developer typically, they utilize special districts, metro districts, to put in the infrastructure into that community. And at the time, that land is only taxed as land. It's not taxed as improved.
Okay.
So when a buyer closes on the property from the time of, it, digging a hole to closing, which in today's market is anywhere from 6 to 12 months, potentially okay. longer, there's not a fully assessed value at that point. Okay. So their first tax year typically is land only,
okay.
which seems lovely, but they forget to educate the consumer, which is why they need a realtor on their side, right? An
like
advocate,
Karen Levine.
Right? So what happens is that they don't know that they're going to be obligated for the tax consequence of this special district. I give credit to Governor Romer. Back in the 80s, we had some special taxing districts that existed. We went into a recession. That community did not get sold out. And so those few homeowners that lived in that community took on that entire tax burden until we had a recovery and then sold those homes
right.
in that community. So what's happening is through this bill, Liz, and she can correct me, but it at least informs the consumer of what their tax liability could potentially be instead of sort of skirting the issue.
Well, that does seem really important that people understand that. And this is primarily with like a new build, a new mm-hmm. development, right, Liz?
Yes, this bill is directed at new builds because if it was a traditional sale of an older property, that would show up in your tax certificate. But for a new build, it doesn't.
Okay. Okay. It's interesting. You know, it's interesting that sometimes we have to have legislation for these things because
that seemed very logical and practical.
It seems very logical, but it could affect people buying
mm-hmm.
When they take a look at their tax bill. We have just a couple of minutes left. Liz, what else would you like our listeners to know?
Well, one thing we're really watching out for, in addition to rising property taxes, is how energy and environmental legislation can increase the cost of housing. One bill in particular, House Bill 1286, was going to put in place benchmarking and caps for every single industry of how they were going to reduce greenhouse gases, including the housing industry. And thankfully, the bill got amended down to actually create a task force where industry will be able to participate in the discussion as well as other environmental stakeholders to make sure that we're setting policy that actually meets within technology capacity. But what I'm worried about is if you like cooking on your natural gas
cooktop
or grill, policymakers think it is a direct link to climate change. I'm not sure every consumer agrees with them on that, and it does violate your consumer choice. But at the same time, every environmental policy or building code change we make makes housing more expensive mm-hmm. to produce, and we don't have enough supply across our state.
So, Liz, when we talk about affordable housing, and Karen and I talked about this last week, it's different for different markets. But, Karen, you said that anywhere from 30 to 45% of the cost of a new build is from rules and regulations. Liz, if we're really serious about making housing affordable, it seems like we should start to chip away at that kind of stuff instead of new government programs that are going to pick winners and losers. Your final thought, Liz?
I'd love to see us have an exemption for affordable housing so that we can build housing as we work towards our climate goals. We don't have enough to meet the demand here, and I don't want to see people leave Colorado.
And that is what's going to happen. Hey, Liz Peace, thank you so much for joining us. You are the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Colorado Association of Realtors. I learned a lot this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Karen Levine, it's always great to have you in studio. And again, I learned a lot.
So much to learn. And just when we think we get a handle on it, there's like a big U-turn in the road, right?
Well, and to this point, we need to change who we have down at the legislature representing us, because when you bring forth a bill like this that picks winners and losers and changes our property taxes 7 days before the end of the session, well, anytime you bring that forward, we need to realize that elections really do have consequences. So William Howard Taft, he was our 27th president and the 10th Chief Justice of the United States, said this. He said, next to the right of liberty, the right of property is the most important individual right guaranteed by the Constitution. There you go, Karen.
There you go.
Okay, my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free. The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, AM 560 and 100.7 FM.